mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's this couple, and in their first year of marriage, with his wife sick and a fever, her husband says to her, "I'm taking you to the hospital for a complete checkup." Well, in the second year of their marriage, when his wife gets sick, again, her husband announces, "I've called the doctor and he wants to see you, so you better go." In the third year, her husband says, "I'll make you something to eat. Do we have any soup?" Then in the fourth year of their marriage, she gets sick again. Her husband says, "After you fed the kids and washed the dishes, you better go back to bed." Family life. It can be the best of times, it can be the worst of times. On this, the first week of Advent, we begin this sermon series called Family Life. There's much to learn from families connected with the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. They faced many perils and difficulties. They faced infertility, rejection, frustration, loss, and so much more. Luke chapter 1, verse 5 introduces us to two of these families we're going to look at. It says, "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah." Well, this sermon tonight has two parts. We're looking at two different families. We're going to look at Herod's family, and we're going to look at the family of Zechariah. So, Herod's family. Yes, the Virginia, this Herod is also called Herod the Great. And yes, again, Virginia, this is the same Herod who, when Jesus was born, ordered the execution of all boys under the age of 2 in and around Bethlehem. In fact, to say that Herod was a monster is putting it rather mildly. Just not so many years ago, I had a wonderful and blessed opportunity to visit the Holy Land, and I went to Masada, up on top where the last stronghold of the Jews before the Romans overtook them and wiped them all out. But the thing about Masada was that it was King Herod's vacation home that he had commissioned it and had it built and prepared for him to live there. So while on top of Masada, we got quite an education about King Herod. Herod the Great. What a guy. He was born into a politically connected family. He was born in 73 BC, and he was destined for a life of political hardball. He was married 10 times, and he ordered the execution of 2 of his wives and 3 of his sons. Nice guy. When Herod's father was poisoned by one of his political opponents, seething with revenge, he formed this rather ingenious plan. He invited all of his father's killers to a great feast, a great big party at his home, and while they were all gathered, he had them all murdered. At the age of 69, Herod knew that he was dying. He also knew that no one was going to cry at his funeral. He wasn't very well liked. He knew that. Well, he longed for them to cry at his funeral. He really wanted and hoped for that. So he devised one final desperate plan. He would bring together all the top leaders of all the tribes, of all the neighboring areas. He brought them all in for a meeting in Jericho. And he brought them all together, and once they arrived, he had the fortress gates locked. And guess what? Just before he died, Herod's last command was to have all those decisions that have hurt our children and ignored the clear warnings from God's holy word, and the result. Though family can be the best of times, too often family is the worst of times. So much for highlighting Herod's family. So let's now look at Zechariah and his family. The text said they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. They were both well along in years. Well, Luke chapter 1 says Elizabeth describes her barrenness as a disgrace among the people. In those days, if you had children, you had everything. On the other hand, if you had no children, you had nothing. Zechariah and Elizabeth longed for a child. But now it's too late. They were both too old. That ship had sailed and that train had left the station long ago. There was no going back. They were both well along in years. The pain of regret hits us most frequently when it comes to family. So maybe you're like a little bit like Zechariah and his family and Elizabeth, wanting children but not able to conceive. Or maybe you're single, desperately wanting to be married, but it just hasn't happened. Maybe you're married, but it hasn't turned out like you had hoped. Like Zechariah and Elizabeth, we can all feel disgrace and shame among the people. End of story? No. Our gracious and giving God has indeed intervened. He gave Elizabeth and Zechariah blessed gifts. The same gifts he gives to me and to you and all our families. What is that? Children. Israel's three matriarchs, Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, they were all barren at one time. And so was Hannah, the mother of Samuel. All four women eventually had children. Elizabeth and Zechariah must have believed in God that he would do it for them. Because not once, but four times God has done it, and he did it again. So has family life left you frustrated and maybe empty? Then hear this. If God was faithful to Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, Zechariah, and Elizabeth, certainly will be faithful with you. You may have given up on him, but he has never given up on you. He replaces barrenness and brokenness with goodness and grace. Zechariah was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Luke chapter 23, later on in his gospel, he records another time that someone had access to the temple. When the curtain of the temple was torn in two. You see, in Luke 1, Zechariah has access to the very presence of God. In Luke 23, because of Jesus Christ's death, all of us, we have access to God's very presence. And this presence never disappoints. God's presence is most evident during the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. The body that suffered and was crucified, that true body is very present for you. The blood that was shed, spilled, and splattered, that true blood is present for you. By the blood of Jesus, you have access to the most holy presence of the most holy God. And this real presence forgives all of your family failures. Every last one of them. God gave named Elizabeth and Zechariah a child. And God's promise is that this child, John the Baptist, will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. Matter of fact, Sunday's gospel is about John the Baptist. It just rolls right along so well. So God's plan is to turn our hearts towards home, to replace vengeance and bitterness with forgiveness and love. He'll turn the hearts of parents to their children and the hearts of the children toward their parents. Got a little story. One day a mother came home from a grocery store. She looked in her living room and she saw her four children all sitting in a circle. As she got closer to them, she noticed that while they were playing with four of the cutest little baby skunks she'd ever want to see, she said, "Get out of here! Get away! Get out of here now!" So each child picked up a skunk and they ran out the door. Needless to say, things got a little smelly. Family. The next time it gets real stinky in your family, don't fly off the handle like Harry. You can lose it all. Instead, trust in the promises of our gracious God. Trust in God's presence and the plan that God has for each of us. They're real. They are alive. And they work. Don't believe me, just ask Zechariah and Elizabeth. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts in line.